Let's turn our Bibles to John 15, verse 1 and 2. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. We thank you that we could come before you to pray and hear your word and to meet with you. So we invite your Holy Spirit to come and speak this morning. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about pruning a little bit. It says here in this passage, I'm sure we're very familiar with it. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And it's a beautiful verse, right? If you read the whole passage, it's a powerful reminder of our need to be close to Jesus, to abide in Jesus, to remain in Jesus, to bear much fruit. But this morning, we'll focus on the first part, on the pruning. So pruning, as you guys know, it's a gardening term, right? And I've never gardened anything before in my life. But I think I would enjoy it. You know, I'm not really a pet person. I don't like dogs. I don't like cats. And people always ask, are you a dog person or a cat person? Neither. I don't like anything that I think they're annoying, you know. But I always say, but I think I would enjoy growing a plant, you know. There's something about it, you know, something about taking care of something and something that's living, you know. And I think I would enjoy it. But yeah, I don't know. I've never gardened, so maybe I won't enjoy it. Who knows? But Monica, my fiance, she had some herbs growing at one point at her place. She had like coriander and different things. And she says it was growing really well. It was doing really well. It was growing a lot. And she felt like she needed to trim and prune this little plant to make it, you know, make sure that it keeps growing. So one day she got a pair of scissors and she started chopping away at these plants. And she says soon after they just died. She killed them because she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know how to prune correctly. So these plants that she was growing, they were doing quite well and they died. And so if you don't know what pruning is, I'm sure most of us don't know what it is. It's a process where you remove dead and diseased branches, and also some of the healthy branches, fruits and flowers, so that growth can be stimulated. So you remove the dead and diseased branches, but you also remove the healthy branches so that you can stimulate growth from the plant. Famous pastors Joyce Meyer and Rick Warren both have suggested this, that pruning in a Christian's life is going to happen no matter what. And so the best thing to do is to work with God so that it is quicker and less painful. What they mean is God's going to reveal things to us through situations, through problems, through difficult people, etc. And he's going to reveal things that need to be removed from our lives. And so we can either work with him and let go of those things, or we can resist and try to hold on, but that will just prolong the process and it will make things more difficult for us. So I have 4 points regarding pruning that I want to go through with you this morning. The first point is that God is not angry with us when he prunes us. Sometimes we make the mistake, I think, when we go through pruning or we feel like we're going through a disciplining process, we feel like maybe we've done something wrong or that God is angry with us, that God is somehow disappointed with us. But the key passage here, it says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Right? It's the branches that are bearing fruit that God will take and he'll prune. So, and the purpose of that is that we will it'll increase fruitfulness in our lives. So when we go through a time of pruning, or maybe it feels like God is disciplining us in some way and trying to remove things, bringing things into light that need to be, that kind of puts a check in our hearts, and God wants to remove those things from us. It's not that he's angry with us. I think it means that he is still with us. He is pleased with us, and he believes in us. You know, he's doing this because he loves us and he believes in us, and we're doing something right. And so he wants to increase that in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. You don't have to turn there. But it says, "For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." It says the Lord reproves those people that he loves as a father corrects the son that he delights in. So when we go through a pruning process and he starts revealing things to us that maybe need to be cut off from our lives, it just means that he delights in us. He's so delighted in us and he believes in us and we are doing something right. So he's saying, yeah, I want you to continue bearing more fruit, so I'm moving in your life. Okay, so that's the first point. God's not angry with us when he prunes us. Number two, pruning involves cutting off diseased and dead branches. As I said earlier, pruning involves cutting off diseased and dead branches from our lives. So if we could turn to Numbers 14. Numbers 14 is a passage about the Israelites, and they are about to enter into the promise. Well, they're at the border of the promised land, and they were supposed to enter into the promised land, but the people wanted to send in some spies to check out the land, right? So they go in and check out the land. 12 spies go, 10 of them come back to say, "The land is great, but we will never make it. These are lands of giants, so let's just stay out here. And, you know, God has sent us out here just to die and to be killed by these people, so forget it." 2 of them come back and say, "No, we can do it because God is with us." That's Joshua and Caleb. All right, so that's Numbers 14. And if we could turn to verses 26 to 32, it says this, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness.'" So in this passage, for the nation of Israel, this was a painful process, but some of the people had to die and be removed from the nation for them to enter into the promised land. They had a wrong mindset, right? Numbers 13:33 says that they viewed themselves as grasshoppers, and so they became in the eyes of the people in the promised land. So they had these people with grumbling mindset and a wrong mindset of who they were. In Deuteronomy, it says that these people thought that God hated them. God hates us. That's why he's taking us into this dangerous land just to have us killed. So they had this wrong mindset. And these people had to die and they had to be removed from the nation for the nation of Israel to enter into the promised land that God had in store for them. So I wrote down in my Bible, it says, "The dream of God takes a bit of work. Sometimes some things in us must die for us to actualize and to walk into the reality of God's dream." So there are parts of us that must be submitted to God, that must be removed from us for God's plan to be fulfilled. You know, we've picked up a lot of junk through our lives, through our sinful patterns and wrong thoughts and bad habits. And pruning is removing these things. You know, just as for the nation of Israel, there were some people that had to be removed for this nation to be purified and for them to enter into the promised land. For us to enter into the promises of God and to walk in the fullness of God's plans for us, there are parts of us that need to die and to be removed. And I think pruning involves that, removing these things. So for us, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, are you working on anything in my life right now? Are there things that must be removed? Is there sin? Is there a wrong view of God? Or, you know, unforgiveness or bitterness, laziness, whatever it is that is keeping us from entering into the promised land, so to speak, in our own lives, entering into the fullness of what God has for us, these things need to be cut off and removed. And number three, pruning also involves cutting off healthy branches, you know, good things from our lives. And there's an interesting passage in 2 Kings, if you want to turn there with me, 2 Kings chapter 18. Verse 1 through 4. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of God, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. So, interesting passage at the very end. Hezekiah is a good king. He follows the Lord wholeheartedly. And he says he removed the high places and broke down sacred pillars, cut down the Asherah, and he also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. And the bronze serpent, it was a God thing. You know, there's a time when the Israelites are complaining and grumbling and God sends a plague and the people turn to the Lord and God says to Moses, make a bronze serpent and if the people look to it, they're going to be saved. They're going to be rescued, delivered from the plague. So it was actually something that God did and it was used for good. You know, Moses made it. The people looked at it for salvation. It was a good thing that God did. But in this time, in this now period for King Hezekiah, this thing was no longer being used for good, and it had to be cut off and removed. You know, imagine how hard it would have been for Hezekiah to break this thing. Because Moses is like the greatest leader of Israel. And this is a thing that Moses had made, and Hezekiah is breaking this thing into pieces. And, you know, I can imagine it's very hard, you know, for something that someone did a long time ago that was very godly. And everybody had looked to it as something that was very good. But Hezekiah realizes, no, this has become something that is harmful to the people of Israel. And this thing needs to be removed. So he breaks that into pieces. So how about in our lives? Sometimes what was once good in the past is actually hindering us from moving forward. Not because it's no longer good, but because God is maybe doing something else with us. And if we hold on to the past, hold on to what we were doing in the past, we will miss out on God's best for us. I think an example would be something like YWAM. You know, when I went to YWAM, Discipleship Training School, it was seriously the best time of my life. I always tell people, DTS was the best time of my life. It was so awesome just to be away for 6 months with people that are all seeking after the Lord. And, you know, many people go back to YWAM after they do their DTS. They'll come back home for a little bit, but they go back to YWAM to be full-time missionaries. But for me, it was for a season, you know. It was for a season of 6 months, and I didn't feel called to go back to it. But sometimes, just sometimes, I'm not suggesting this for anybody, but sometimes people stay with YWAM for too long. You know, people just stay with YWAM because it is a nice, comfortable Christian environment. You know, it's a bubble, and Even though their time is up and maybe God is calling them to something else, they just stay with YWAM because it's easy and it's comfortable. And sometimes it just feels that way. I mean, I've been in YWAM before and you run into some people and you're like, I feel like you've been here for too long. You know, you're holding on to things and you need to move on. And I think that's an example maybe of something that was really good. God did in your lives something amazing, but it's no longer something you need to hold on to. And I can think of my brother, Matt, as well. Some people don't know that Matt is my brother, but Matt is my physical blood brother. He used to be in the worship ministry. He played the bass, and him and I, because we're brothers, we were just so in sync, so easy to play together, and so fun. And I know he enjoys it. I know he's good at it, and he's so gifted in this music area, but he felt like God was calling him to drop it so that he could really focus more in house church and intercessory prayer ministry. And I think that's one thing. You know, if he had held on to this thing because it was good, because God was using him and stuff like that, he would be too spread too thin. And he wouldn't be able to really lead the IP team and lead his house church for the purposes of God. So I think that's another example of pruning. God cuts some things off and that are even good things, healthy things, so that God will stimulate growth in our lives. And just the last point is we have to remember that God is the one that prunes us. In the beginning, I shared about Monica's experience with the herbs, and she killed them because she didn't know what she was doing. But the good news for us is that God is an excellent gardener, and he knows exactly what he's doing, so we can trust him. If we go through a pruning process, first we know that it's not a punishment, that God's not angry with us, and we can trust him in the process because he knows what he's doing, and he's a good God. And a word of caution for some of us, especially for some of us leaders, you know, we are not the ones that are pruning people. God will do it in people's lives. And so our job, I think, is not necessarily to point out things in people that need to be pruned. And it might be a temptation for us as leaders. We see things, we're like, oh, these things need to be cut off. And I mean, maybe there's a place for that. But I heard this from a friend of mine. It always has stuck with me. You know how Jesus talks about removing the plank from your own eye before removing a speck from your friend's, your neighbor's eye. And so we first have to deal with the plank, right? So we deal with the plank, and many of us have dealt with the plank. So now it's time for us to take the speck out of our friend's eye, our disciple's eye, whatever, our follower's eye. We see a speck, we check ourselves, we remove the plank. So it's time to remove the speck. How, in physical terms, how do you remove a speck from your friend's eye? Actually, in funny story, for my mom, my dad actually had a speck in his eye physically, and crazy, she actually, because she knew she couldn't use her finger to just take the speck out. This is kind of gross. She used her tongue, because the tongue, it's antiseptic, right? I guess saliva is like cleaner. So she used her tongue on my dad's eye to try and get this speck out. I don't even know what happened. I don't know if they even got it. But the point of this is, how do you take a speck out of someone's eye? You do it very, very carefully. You don't just stick your finger in there to take the speck out. You don't just say, hey, there's a speck in your eye, let me take it out for you. You do it very carefully. Whatever it is that it takes, whether it's using your tongue or whether it's just encouraging that person to keep your eyes closed and let the tear do the thing, you do it very carefully. And sometimes we get too excited about pruning people and taking specks out of people's eyes. And we just go, this is something wrong with you. You need to take care of it. And we don't necessarily think about, I guess, how that makes the other person feel, or if it's a positive thing or if it's going to be more hurtful. So just a reminder for us, you know, if we are called to take a speck out of someone's eye, if God is calling us to truly maybe help somebody in the pruning process. We do it very carefully, very gently. So that's the fourth point. God is the one pruning us. So let's just turn to the Lord. I'm going to pray for us. I actually have to lead worship as well. So I'm going to play and pray. But let me just pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, you know, God, are you doing anything in our lives? And I encourage you, don't get too much into introspection, you know, because that's not necessarily, it's not good, because then it's really kind of putting our focus on ourselves, and we can get into all sorts of kind of negative mindset and stuff. So don't get into introspection, but let's just rely on the Holy Spirit to come and reveal to us, you know, God, are you doing something in my life right now? Are you pruning anything out of my life? And if you are doing something, God, would you reveal it to me so that I can kind of work with you in this? So Holy Spirit, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would lead us and guide us, and if we are going through a pruning process right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal it to us and that you will help us to hear from you and be led by you. Thank you, God. Let's sing this song together, Surrender. And if God is doing anything or speaking to you, revealing to you anything, let's just surrender it and work with the Lord in this time. Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you, yes, God. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss, for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, and even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I
surrender all to you, all to you. Yes, God, we just want to say that we surrender. Surrender our hearts to you, God. And if there are things that you are revealing to any of us this morning, I pray that we will be able to surrender to what you are doing, and that we would work with you, that we won't resist, that we won't be so blind to the things that need to be removed from our hearts, God. I pray that we would be able to proactively join you, God, in the pruning process so that we can be more fruitful for your kingdom. So thank you, God, for this morning. Let's turn to our corporate prayer focus. Let's continue to lift up our church members that need physical healing, especially from cancer and people that are going through chemotherapy. And let's also keep lifting up Vince for the bone marrow match for the transplant. So let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that need healing as well as salvation. Let's pray that God will move in them in a powerful way. And please pray for the last item. Hyges' friend's wife, Sarah Rippletoe. Apparently, the doctors have given her a few months to live. So let's pray for just the miracle of God to move in her life and to reveal his power and his love to them. So let's lift the people up together. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for different infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's just lift them up for healing. Let's pray for God's presence to be upon them. Yeah, let's pray for them. Let's go to the next slide. For those looking for a job, let's continue to pray for God's breakthrough upon them and favor with the workplaces, and also pray for God's provision. And in this time of waiting, that they'll be able to seek His face, and His presence will be so powerful and strong upon them. Let's pray that they won't be discouraged, but that they'll be able to hear from the Lord. So let's pray for them. Let's turn to our mission focus for Saturday. Let's pray for Indonesia. Pray for Febe Ministry, for Pastor Salamat and the church, and also Kupang and the church there that we visit on our Indonesia mission trip. And let's also pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SP Singapore and the house church that's gathering there. And let's pray that God will continue to lead them and lead our church as well. And what He wants to do in Singapore. Let's also pray for that nation of Singapore. So let's lift up Indonesia and Singapore together. Let's pray for the education ministries in the SP. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and the youth ministry and the college group. Let's pray for the leaders, for Pastor Carol, for myself, and for Hyunsu. And let's pray that these times, even though they are, especially Noah's Ark and SP youth, they're young people, but let's pray that there will be such an anointing upon the teachers, and that these kids at a young age will be able to experience the power of God and the love of God. So let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for our families and marriages and SP. Let's pray for love and healing, unity, restoration. Let's just pray for protection. So let's lift up our families and marriages together. Let's pray for house churches meeting today. Let's pray for Bel Air, MacDaddy, and Robinson family. Pray for an amazing time of sharing and meeting together, praying together, for a great time of fellowship, and for the leaders, that God will strengthen the leaders to be able to lead these groups. So let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for the weekend activities for our church. Pray for the two services on Sunday. Pray for the worship time then. So I'll be preaching and John Moon will be leading worship. So pray for us and pray for the hospitality team, the coffee ministry and the welcoming team. Pray for Noah's Ark and the youth group. And we have the Justice Conference going on, and we have a few of our church members attending. Let's pray for an amazing time. Let's pray for all the meetings happening this weekend. And let's just give this weekend, especially the Sunday service, to the Lord. Let's pray that His anointing will be upon us, that it will be a powerful time. So let's pray together. Let's pray for the Israel trip. I just heard from Matt this morning that they arrived at Jerusalem. And so they're doing well and they're having a great time. Let's pray for continued protection and that they'll be able to see and observe and experience really amazing things. So let's pray for the Israel trip. Father God, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that you are so good in our lives, God. We just want to say that we love you. We love your presence. And we are so hungry for you. We are so desperate for you, God. Our eyes are on you this morning. And I thank you that we can come and pray for tomorrow's service, and we pray for such a powerful anointing and powerful sense of your presence, God, with us as we gather together tomorrow. And if you are going through, or if you're doing any kind of pruning work in our lives, I pray that we would be able to work with you instead of resisting. And I pray for Holy Spirit that you would really clearly speak to us and reveal things to us in our lives. And I thank you that you are so gentle and so good with us, God. We we really trust you, and we surrender our lives into your hands. Thank you, Lord. Bless each person that's here this morning. I pray that you would go with them wherever they go today, whatever they do, and help us, God, to bring joy to your heart in this day. Thank you, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.